is fair.
This afternoon, we're thankful for your presence, and especially if you're visiting with us, and we're thankful for those who have stayed. We're continuing what we started this morning, and I realized when I lost sight of my clock here, time I looked at it, it was about 50 minutes already, and so I don't know how long I stood on the floor there, so let's say another 10 minutes, that means you stayed with me for an hour, and I guarantee you, I'll give you some time back on this evening. Won't take me long to finish what I want to say in this sermon. So I'm going to be done, and you all going to be like, wow, that's it. Yep, that's it. I basically said enough this morning, but just so we can kind of recap, we're talking about that road less traveled. That road less traveled. And we said a lot of things, you know, if you weren't here, then you can obviously get the CD and you can check on those things that we spoke this morning. Road less travel. We try to talk about the fact that there's reasons why people don't want to travel this road, or why few actually travel this road. And that is because it's a road of confession. And we saw that in our context, where Jesus was asking the disciples in reference to their belief in him. First, he asked what the world is saying. What are the Jews saying? What are those people saying about me? And they answered that question because they knew the things that were being stated about Jesus in reference to who he was. But then Jesus turned that question around and made it more personal and asked them, what do you say? Whom do you say that I am? And so they had to then come and say, not just believe, not just keep it in your heart as a secret, but be willing to confess. What are you willing to confess that you feel or you believe about Jesus Christ? And so it's about what you're willing to say. Everybody can be a secret believer. And they were some of those who were trying to do that even in that particular time. They didn't want to be exposed. They didn't want to get tossed out of the synagogues and all those kind of things. So they were secret disciples. And so Jesus says, what are you prepared to say about me? And so it is a road of confession, which is why some don't follow it. But then also it is a road of conflict. We talked about some of those things that are prevalent in our society today. Being politically correct, trying not to offend certain groups and certain people by using incorrect terminology and all those kind of things. And we talked about plenty of that, gave you many examples of what that looks like and how that sounds. But then we also looked to the Word of God and knew that Jesus himself was not politically correct according to the way that is utilized today. And so I would not desire to be the person who would want to go back and tell Jesus how to be politically correct. He offended people. And the reason he offended people, not because Jesus had the wrong attitude or bad attitude or anything like that. He simply offended people because he spoke truth. And when you don't want truth, when you prefer error, and you prefer that which is wrong to that which is right, you prefer evil to that which is good and all those kind of things, then a person who speaks that truth, if you prefer darkness rather than light, then you are going to be offended. And so Jesus was highly offensive to many people. This life that we live is the road less traveled because it is a road of conflict. Now, let me just share this last one with you, and then the sermon will be yours, and we'll be on our way. Let's look back to Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, as we finish this particular section of scripture. And notice also that the reason this road is less, the road less traveled, is because it is a road of choice. It is a road of choice. Begin in verse number 34, if you will.
He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself.
Wait, let's stop right there. If any man will come after me, it is this road of choice has to do with your desire. It has to do with desire. If any man will come after me, if any man, Jesus invites all. He invites everyone. And so you have to, but the thing is, you have to desire to come. You have to desire to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It is a desire. And so if any man will come after me, it is a choice, but it is your choice. It is a choice, my friends, that everyone must make for himself because it is a voluntary decision. We used to say sometimes to people who were trying to compel us to do something we didn't want to do, we would say, you can't make me. Y'all remember that?
Yes,
especially as it pertains to siblings. If you have siblings, you done said this to, at some point to someone, they try to make you do something, and you say, you can't make me do it. You can't make me do it. You know what? That's one of these situations where you can say, you can't make me, and you're right. We can't make you. No one's going to make you. In fact, God has set this thing up as to, I heard Craig talking about this morning, as making men free moral agents so as to not violate you that way. The gospel is set up that way so that you have to make the choice for yourself. No one can make you. Now, here's the interesting thing about that. Haven't we been making little people all their lives? Like, you have children. Raise your hand if you have children. And raise your hand if you was in the church when you had those children. So now, if you was in the church when you had those children, guess what you did to your children? You made them go to church or come to church, worship, whatever you want to call it. You made them because we felt like we had to. We had to give them some training. We had to try to give them an opportunity to get indoctrinated and all those kind of things. You made them come to church. And if you was one of those, as we described, you faithful, you made them come to Bible study. My mother made sure that every time the church doors opened, I was there. My brothers were there. My sisters were there. Every time the church doors opened, Sister Lucille had you in that building. And I don't care. I told you before, I don't care if them brothers said, hey, we're going to go up here. We're going to change the park. We're going to pave the parking lot. We're going to stripe it and all that stuff. We up there. If they said we tearing down the building, we up there. If you're cleaning up the building, we up there. Oh, you're having some kind of, we up. I don't care what they did. We were up there. She made sure we were up there. And sometimes we didn't always get a ride. You walk up there. But you got there. And you were there. And we did that to our children. We did that for our children. We made sure. We made them. But you know what happens over time? See, at some point your children grow up. And then they have to have that desire for God, for Christ, for themselves. And that's when you see that you can make them go to church, you can make them go to worship, you can make them go to Bible classes, but you can't make their hearts. You can't make them have a desire to yearn after Christ, to make him the Lord and master of their lives. And so you see what happens is that when they get to the point where it's time for them to make that choice for themselves, we see many of our children march out of the door and into the world, where they become politically correct and give over to all of those things out there. I wonder how many people that's in our colleges here locally, ODU and Hampton and all these colleges, I wonder how many should be here that have been reared up in the church, made to go to church and all of those kind of things, and then they come to college and all of a sudden we sometimes think about the ones who do come that we probably have no idea how many should be here. How many are in those colleges that have been reared up in the Lord's church, but now it's time for them to make their own decision, and they never show up here? Desire. No one can make you. God is not going to make you. But you have to desire to come after him. Well, it's a road of choice. And that's why many choose, or rather fail to choose, the road less traveled. But not only that, it's a road of denial. Jesus says, if any man come unto me, let him do what?
Deny himself.
Let him deny himself. I don't know what your definition of self-denial is, but I know that's not this. This is not self-denial. I don't want you to confuse the two. This is not self-denial when we give up certain things or certain activities for a period of time because of some kind of cause. You see, you can be an individual that constantly goes through a period of self-denial, but that's not what this is. This is something different. When the Bible talks about denying oneself, don't confuse that with self-denial, because your self-denial may not be this. It's not equal to this, and most of the time it's not anyway. You can have self-denial and deny yourself for some things for a little while or a little time for a particular reason. We did not, when we go on diets, don't we do that all the time? Self-denial. You laying in the bed and you know those cookies are calling you. They got your name on them, they're whispering to you and all that kind of stuff. Your stomach is agreeing to the call and you want to get out of that bed so bad you're almost shaking. Am I the only one that's gone through that?
Yes.
I'm the only one? Or you want to get out of that bed so bad, there's got some ice cream in there in the freezer with your name written all over it, some popcorn, something in there, and it's about 10 o'clock. You know you don't need to be eating this time of night and then trying to lose weight at the same time. But boy, I tell you what, you're watching something on television, there's a basketball game on, and you know what we do when we're entertained, we want to eat.
Yes, sir.
And boy, I'm laying in that bed sometimes, and I'm just sitting here. Don't do it. Stay in the bed. Don't do it. Don't do it. You see, that's self-denial.
Yes, sir.
That's self-denial. Sometimes you do better. Sometimes you don't do so good. But that's self-denial. That's not this. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. What that means is to deny oneself completely, wholly. To surrender ourselves, not just to anything, but to someone. To surrender our whole lives to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that there's none of me but all of him. You see, that's different than me sitting up here denying myself or self-denial on certain little things for certain particular reasons. This is about a total and holy surrender to the will of someone else. I do not have the lordship of my life anymore. I have surrendered that to you. So when I have certain feelings, I'm trying to find out what the Lord says. When I think a certain way, I'm trying to find out what the Lord wants me to think. When I act a certain way, it's how the Lord wants me to act. When I react, it's how the Lord wants me to react. It is a total. If you make me feel a certain way, I don't respond just because you made me feel that way. How would the Lord want me to respond? I can't even have my own attitude about certain things. I got to decide what the attitude the Lord wants me to have. That's what we're talking about, a total and holy surrender. I don't get a chance to lead anymore. You had that till you came to Christ. Now it is a denial of yourself by a surrender to Jesus Christ, so that you will now do his will as he has determined. Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the grace of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was saying, it's no longer I that lives. That Saul, that Paul you once knew, does not exist any longer. Now everything has been surrendered to Christ. That's not self-denial. That's a denial of self as given in Scripture. Jesus says, if any man come unto me, it's about your desire, but it's also about your denial. Let him deny himself, and then what?
Take up his cross.
This thing is about death. Take up his cross. You know, when you think about the cross, now we have done, I'm talking about, when I say we, I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about man in general. We have done some fanciful things with the cross throughout the centuries. But let me tell you something. Let me bring this back to, I guess, a biblical center, if you will. When we're talking about this cross, he says, let him take up his cross. This cross was not about ceremonies. It wasn't about traditions. It wasn't about religious feelings. The cross was about the ability or the way to execute a person. It was an instrument of death. And that's the way our Lord uses it. Now, man has changed it over the years, so if you're not careful, we'll get swept up in that. But forget the ceremonies. Forget all the religious feelings about it and all those kind of things. Forget the traditions. It was an instrument of death to execute people. That's what the cross represented. And so Jesus says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. His desire must be to come after me. I'm extending the invitation. You come. But it must be a denial. Therefore, you have to deny yourself, none of you, all of me. And when you do that, you are prepared now to take up your cross. It's not about wearing a piece of jewelry around your neck for symbolism, as if that means anything. It's not what it's about. Jesus was saying, you walk down death row with me daily. Now, if Jesus, did you all ever see the movie The Green Mile? And you know that long walk where you have to take that walk toward death row, and they walk with you and all that stuff to get you ready, and you walk down that corridor, you know you're going to your death. Now imagine if Jesus is on death row and he's on his way down that corridor and is leading to the instrument where he's going to be put to death. And imagine if you can just imagine that scene, and Jesus turns around and looks at every one of us. Here's that corridor right here. Jesus is walking and he's going to his death. He turns around to us and says, if any man want to come after me, he says, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me down death row. Now remove the symbolism, remove the ceremonies, remove the traditions, and then recognize that that cross he's going to is an instrument to death. Are you coming down that corridor behind him? See, that makes it real, doesn't it? He said, walk down death row with me daily. Oh, that'll take care of that piece of jewelry. That piece of jewelry won't mean anything, will it? No. All the ceremonies and the symbolism won't mean anything. No, this was real. And Jesus was saying, you know what? This is a one-way trip. It's not a round trip. It's a one-way trip that leads to one conclusion. And it was a one-way trip leading to death, and the disciples all bought a ticket. And Jesus told them, if you're going to come after me, this is about desire, this is about denial, and this is about death. You take up your cross daily. And see where it leads. I'll tell you where it leads. It leads to persecution. Paul says, yea, and if any man that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. And they all did, didn't they? Many of them was killed early on. James thrown off the pinnacle of a temple. They had Peter in prison, was going to kill him because they had done very well with James. And we know that Paul was ultimately beheaded. We know that all of them suffered martyrdom. Peter ended up being crucified, and then crucified upside down. And on, John ended up being the only one that survived, and he ended up on the Isle of Patmos. They bought a ticket and followed Jesus down death row. That's what the cross was about. It was an instrument of death. You take up that cross daily, and there may be a sword driven right in the midst of your family. You might want to maintain those relationships, but Jesus said a sword will be driven right between your family because you took up this cross daily and followed me. Matthew 10, 34 through 37. Just if you're taking notes, but let me hasten on. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and devotion. Follow me. You follow Christ in his doctrine. You follow Christ in his life. You follow Christ's example. You follow Christ. Peter said, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. We follow his steps when we follow him. We follow his life. We follow his ways. We follow his teaching. We follow in his steps. And sometimes that leads to mistreatment and persecution. But we're devoted. We're all in with Jesus. And then he says, read.
For whosoever will save his life shall lose it.
Damnation. Damnation. Read.
But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it.
Brother Disney, how do you save your life? Well, I told you early part of this sermon. When you decide to be politically correct, when you want to know what's trending, when you want to know what's popular, when you don't want to offend anyone, you're saving your life. That's how you save it. You see, I don't want the troubles that comes with standing where God wants me to stand. I don't want the troubles with coming to tell people what something truly is. I don't want the troubles that come with telling the truth when it's not popular. I don't want what comes with that kind of stuff. The world has gone away, and they've gone away from God, and they've even just changed and described sin in a different way so that it's no longer sin. And who am I to come in there and tell them and offend all these people by telling them this is not right? You're not supposed to do that. You shouldn't go that way. Well, who are you to tell us? Who are you to judge? The world says you can't judge for anything with all of this stuff going on. You can save your secular life by not buying into this. With all of this going on, you can save your social life. Look, it's hard to continue in our friendships that we all had when we were all out there doing the foolish things. It's hard to maintain those relationships to the same level you had when you were in college and everybody was fools. I'm going home this year to do a gospel meeting for the congregation where I grew up. And I've already gotten calls from Rockford. A lot of people waiting and expecting and anticipating. I've talked to, they've called me with guys on the, I used to play basketball. Oh man, Greg Disney, he coming up, man, we used to play ball together. They called me on the phone and let me talk to him and all this kind of stuff. So I'm talking to him, telling him I want you to be there. But listen, when I go and I see them old boys, it's not business as usual. We can't act like we were when we were 20 years old, running around playing basketball and doing whatever. We can't do that. No, things have changed. It's the gospel. My social life with you is not the social life I once shared with you. It's very difficult to have those same social lives. But let me tell you something. There are people who will save their secular lives. There are people who will save their social lives. There are people who will save their domestic lives but lose their eternal lives because they were unwilling to sacrifice those things for Christ.
Amen.
Read. It may cost you some things when you stand up and tell the truth. It may cost you something. It may cost you a job at some point. It may cost you some friendships. It may cost you some long-standing relationships. But if you really want to test your friendships with people, all you got to do is just be righteous, love God, talk Bible, go to church. Every time they come around, and you know what? They either gonna come with you or they gonna stop coming. They gonna stop fooling with you. You won't have to tell them to go away. You keep doing right, they going away if they don't want this. Especially if you making the right decisions about not doing those things that are not convenient. They'll make the decision. Jesus says if he saves his life in those things and does what? He shall save his life if he's willing to lose for the gospel's sake. Mm-hmm. He'll save it. If you're willing to stand up, don't be politically correct, tell the truth. If you're willing to stand up, if you're willing to sacrifice, if you're willing to lose some of those domestic privileges, if you're willing to lose some of those social people that's in your life, if you're willing to lose some of those secular things, it might be jobs and whatever, if you're willing to lose those things, I'm not saying you go in there and act like a fanatical individual. I'm just simply saying, when they start questioning you about your beliefs and what you believe and what's true, and they try to get you to do things that are wrong, hey, I can't do that. Boss or no boss, it's not right. When you stand for what's right and it costs you, then my friends, you might have lost your secular life. You might have lost your social life as friends don't want anything to do with you anymore. You might lose your domestic life as you lose some friendships and relationships in your family, but you will save your eternal life because you lost it because of Christ. Not because of my bad attitude, but because of Christ. That's what made the difference. Read.
What shall it profit a man?
If he keeps his secular life and gain the whole world, if you make all the money, what shall a proper man if he keeps his social life connected to the people who got all the money? What is it going to profit a man if he keeps his domestic life? Stay in those relationships and then do what? Gain the whole world
and lose his own soul.
And lose his own soul. What shall a man give in exchange? Jesus says if he saves his life in those things and gains the whole world in the process but loses his soul, he made a bad bargain. Question, which road are you traveling? The road most traveled or the one less traveled? Robert Frost in his poem, The Road Not Taken, says this. At the end of that poem, this is what he says. He said, two roads diverge in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and it has made all the difference. We are inviting you to take the road less traveled, because what we know, and maybe perhaps you don't know, is that it will make all the difference. The road less traveled is the one that'll make all the difference in the world. But there's a reason why folks don't come this way, because it may cost you. Mm-hmm. It may cost you. It is a road of confession. It is a road of conflict. Some people don't want to have to deal with conflict. It is a road of choice. Any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You can either try to lose your life for Christ and let some of these things, they get sacrificed, or you can win your life for Christ. Because you were willing to lose those things. Some people hold on to those things and will lose their eternal soul. And what shall a man give exchange for a soul, even if those things bring you the whole world? So if you're here this afternoon and you need to come to Christ, we invite you to do so, believing in him, repenting of your sins, confessing him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, being baptized in the watery grave for the remission of your sins, to be added to his church. Be faithful to the Lord. He is certainly faithful to you. And one day, the faithful him in the sky, going to meet him in heaven and be with him throughout all eternity. Reason for that is because they took the road less traveled. And it will, in eternity, make all the difference. If you need to respond, come now and stand and sing the invitation song.
Page 702.